This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a Deacon and Trustee Seminar held on June 25, 2026 in Guthrie, Kentucky.
Won't share it this way, but when I heard the name of the topic, I said, yeah, I can do that. It's one of my favorite topics and my subjects, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. And Jesus demonstrated a lot about giving. I said, sure, I can do that. The scripture reference there, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I come from a very liberal congregation in Crossville, Tennessee. I grew up there. As a young boy, I remember the deacon getting up and he'd say, we got $1,500 in the church fund. It's the Lord's money. It's not doing any good there. Does anybody know of any needs? And one brother raised his hand and said, yeah. He said, we could. He had, I know of a hospital bill. And there's a place. Back then it was Jesus to the Iron Curtain or whatever. Anyway, we'd send 500 here and we'd send 500 there and 500 over there. And as a young boy, that was exciting. It was something that we did as a congregation. Now jump ahead 50 years. I'm not sure how many deacons later. A couple years ago, our deacon got up in congregation there. Maybe it was a men's meeting. And he said, brethren, we got $130,000 in the church fund. It's the Lord's money and it's not doing any good in there. Does anybody know of any needs? Well, yeah. They got a hospital bill over here. And we sent 40,000 here and 40 here and 20 here. And I'm looking around. And I got a bit emotional. This is now two generations later. And our liberality is alive. Giving is something that can be taught. It can be shown. It can be lived. It is God's nature to give. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have the example of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest gift with the greatest cost. It is the nature of God's people to give. We have the story there in 2 Kings 4, the Shunammite woman. We're not going to read that story. I don't know if this woman was Jewish, but she lived in that area. And she saw Elisha walking by one day and invited him in, gave him some bread. He went on his way. He came back through. She invited him in, gave him some bread. She told her husband, you know, we need to build a room for this man. And I want to stop right here and make a comment of all the deacons' wives and sisters that we have right here in attendance. It is often our sisters that notice the needs among us. We men are, we're willing to give, but sometimes we don't see it. And this woman said, let's build a room. And I'll get back to this later. Giving is not about just giving money. Money is the easy part. But I'm talking about giving time, giving resources. What did this woman have? She had bread. It's something she could do, something she could make. And there was a need. We have the story of in Luke 19 of Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was a chief among the publicans. And my point here is that not only does God give, but his people give. When in that conversation with Jesus and Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus made the statement, he said, you know, he said, half my goods I give to the poor. And just like that, Jesus said, today salvation came to this house. When we see people with God's nature put within them, they want to give. Now, what can I give to somebody else? I have received this blessing. I want to share it. Cornelius, Acts 2. One that gave much alms to the people. And the Bible says that his prayers and his almsgiving got the attention of God. We have more stories there. Acts 4. When the heart is transformed, the kindness and generosity of God comes out. Several years ago, my wife and I get carried away with stories, but I can only say what my experiences have been. But a number of years ago, we were in a foreign country as missionaries, I guess you call it, and these were poor people, and we were givers. It was us that supplied the school. We supplied basically everything, transportation. People depended on us. And we struggled there to get a church going, I guess better people showed up. And in the course of time, I guess it was 20 years later, maybe longer than that, 25 years, I was asked to come back to that congregation and have a week of meetings. And by that time, the mission had moved on. This was now an indigenous church. They had local leadership. And we got there, and about halfway through the week, the deacon came to me, and he said, how much was your plane ticket? I said, so what? No, he said, we want to pay your plane ticket. I said, there's no way this church is going to pay my plane ticket. He said, you don't understand. He said, when we went from being takers to being givers, we had a foundation to have a church. We didn't need the mission anymore. We support our own school. We support ourselves. And you're going to allow these brethren to pay your plane ticket. And I did. But he taught me a valuable lesson. God's people give. And there is nobody that cannot give. God observes our giving. We have the story there in Mark 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich cast in much, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now what I'm taking from this particular account is that God is observing what we give. God observes all men and all things. All our actions are before his eyes. What we do in public and what we do in private are equally known to him. And again, I go back to the idea of Cornelius. His almsgiving got the attention of God. Christ also knows the circumstances of each person. When those people were in there casting their alms in, I don't know that they were necessarily blowing trumpets then. I don't know that there was anything untoward going on. The Bible really doesn't say. But Jesus knew who had what. And he called the disciples over and he said, I want you to observe this lady. She put in everything that she had. He knew that. And God knows our giving as well. And he observes that. He observes our condition. He also knows the motives from which we give. Is it to impress others? Tax savings, means of giving thanks and honoring our Heavenly Father. Just a note on tax savings here. I don't think it's wrong to give for tax savings necessarily. I think if you're in a position where it would benefit your taxes to subtract that, that's fine. You can do it legally. But that's not our primary motive. I think there should be a better one than that. But Jesus observes our attitude in which we give. Are we giving cheerfully? Are we giving to make an impression again? Do we give fearfully? I'll give, but I'm not sure if I have enough for the next whatever. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver. I don't remember how many years ago I was teaching this subject, and it was in a fellowship meetings, and that particular session, they were going to take a collection for the expenses of the meetings. So I had particularly asked the ushers to not take up the collection until after I spoke. I said, you'll get more money, I guarantee it. In the course of that lecture, I asked everybody that agreed with this statement, what I have belongs to God. And hands went up everywhere. So I said, okay, get your wallet out. So they got their wallets out, and I can get mine out. I said, hold your wallet up. That belongs to God, right? Yeah. Well, they're not going to say no. I said, now trade your wallet with your neighbor. So we trade wallets. You ever get a hold of somebody else's wallet? You know where they keep that thing? I have no attachment to somebody else's wallet. Now I said, ushers, come up here and we're going to take an offering. I'll throw the whole thing in there. This is not mine, okay? I had somebody else's wallet. This is not mine. Credit card, I don't care what's in there. It's all. What we say is not always what we mean. Giving Jesus' way, it's not just simply acknowledging that the resources that we have belong to Him and I'm His steward. Whether that's time, whether that's whatever it is, bread, maybe some expertise in some area that somebody needs, and I can share that. But Christ knows the circumstances of each person. He knows our motives. He knows our attitudes. He knows whether there's humility or self-righteousness in our giving. And the warnings, we don't do them to be seen of men. Who should give? Who should give? We encourage everyone to be a giving person. This is something that can be taught to children. It can be taught to everybody. What do you have that we can share with other people? And it's important as parents that we observe that selfishness in children and get rid of that thing as quickly as we can. The joy of sharing with other people. Who should give? Everyone should be a giving person. There needs to be a willing mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And then I love 2 Corinthians 9. He hath dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, and so on. He must be a poor man indeed who cannot find one poorer than himself. There's just people that you can get to the point where you have so many resources that it becomes difficult to share. There is a point where there's a point where poverty actually facilitates giving. I know of a sister, a woman that was very poor. She sometimes didn't have enough to feed her family. She one evening they had popcorn for supper and a little bit of milk. And she and the children went to bed hungry. Later on, this was a few years ago, she got $100. And she told the children, we're going to town, we're going to buy groceries. And at that time, $100 bought a lot more groceries than it did today. But she's on her way to town. And passed this man on a bicycle. He had some bags tied to his handlebars, and he was picking up cans. And just on impulse, she pulls over to the side of the road, she runs back, and she hands the man $20. The man looks at the car, he looks at the children, he looks at her clothes. He said, ma'am, are you sure? She said, yes, I've got plenty. She still had four 20s, and she was fine. But later she said, you know, she would not have thought about giving, but she was so blessed. She just wanted somebody else to have a blessing as well. Our acts of generosity not only help our fellow man, they also create in us a realization of the source of our assets. Furthermore, they bring praise to our Heavenly Father. And there we have 2 Corinthians 9, 12 to 14. What did Jesus give? He gave time, he gave love, comfort, exhortation, his life. The comments this morning about compassion there, it was blessed. I was just amazed there. One thing Jesus did, I thought about the tree this morning. The trees don't make us feel dumb. Jesus never let anybody feel small in his presence. That's a blessing. That idea of giving acceptance and love is something that everybody can share. And we'll get into some of those more practical areas. What should we give? I cannot give what I do not have, and I'm not responsible for that. I can't fix all the world's problems. But I can give something. If there's a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We all have an equal amount of time. I want to make a disclaimer there. If you're talking about 24 hours a day, that's true. If you're talking about the responsibilities and so on that we have, I agree some of us have more time than others. And I find it a blessing today. I don't have any children at home anymore, and life has been such that I'm in the capacity where I have a little more time than I used to. And I find it easier to do that than I did at one time. And so we do vary some of that. God gives us resources so we can share with others. You have received a gift. Use that gift to share with others. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have abilities, you have interests, you have expertise, wisdom. Find places to use that. And as deacons, as ministers, as maybe responsible people in our congregations, it's a blessing to pair up the need with the resources that we have. If we depend entirely on deacons to take care of all the problems in the church, we're going to be poor churches indeed. But it is the deacon's responsibility to know his people and the resources he has. And then when there's a need, we go to another brother and say, hey, would you take care of this? I think you'd be a good fit for this. Sisters, same way. And pair those up and take care of that. And then you sit back and you watch that, and it's beautiful. I couldn't do what that brother did. I could not give because I don't have those resources. But we do know where they come from. Talents. God gives each person unique gifts to use and to share. And there we have the different gifts. Some of us have whatever. We're just a number of different ones there. We'll keep on moving. Ecclesiastes 11, the first six verses. We're going to read that. Cast thy bread upon the water. Thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The points I have here on giving, how shall we give? We give with confidence. Verse 1, cast your bread upon the water. I understand that there were times when the rivers and the creeks and whatever would overflow and there'd be swampy land there. They would go in there with their grain, maybe it was wheat, maybe it was rice, and they'd spread that seed on that swampy water or whatever it was. According to Isaiah, they turned the cattle in there, stomped it up. When that dried up, there came your bread. That wheat was already established, and here it came. Cast your bread upon the waters. Talks about putting it out there. And there's times when we're giving, whether it's time, whether it's counsel, whether it's teaching, whether it's money, and it seems so futile. We've done this before. It didn't help. But we give with confidence. If God is in it, He'll bless it. We give with confidence. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We give without partiality. Verse 2, I think this here is teaching us to spread it out. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Give a little here. Give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. Sometimes we say, well, should we do this or should we do that? Do both. Maybe a little bit. Now, it's hard to do that with time. There was a time my wife and I decided that maybe it would be advantageous for us to go into a ministry somewhere, and we weren't sure where to go. We prayed about it, and what do you know? Here come the letters. One was a house parents in a counseling center? I forget. One was a foreign mission, and one was and they, two letters and a phone call in 1 week in answer to prayer. Well, I said, we can be sure of one thing. God doesn't want us in all three places because He didn't make three of us. We ended up not going to any of those three. But the point is, spread it out. We don't know what's going to be a priority, but we give to them all. Number three is a controversial one, but I stick to it. We give indiscriminately. There it says, clouds be full of water. Did you ever see rain clouds? And they're heavy, it's cooling off, and they want to drop, and they're up there arguing. And one said, I ain't going to hit that Walmart, and that's an awful big parking lot. I'm going to hit over here this cornfield. When the clouds are full of rain, they dump. The point here is, when God's people want to give, they give. And I'll tell you, sometimes it doesn't always work out. Now, I'm not teaching being irresponsible. But when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, how many came back to thank him? One. 90% failure rate, right? Was Jesus wrong? Oh, no, of course not. We wouldn't say that. We give indiscriminately. And when I say that, there are sometimes we give that we're not sure if it's right or the wrong thing to do. The wrong thing to do is not to do it at all. And we'll get to this point again. I have to think, out of those 9 lepers, I don't know what happened later, but I like to think at least a couple of them thought about it later and maybe changed their mind. I don't know. There's times when we give and we think it's an utter failure, but we're sending seeds for somebody else down the road. They get the benefit. They get the blessing. They get to reap a harvest, and we get to sow. And I don't know how many times I have been the recipient of blessings and to see something take place that somebody had planted seeds many years ago. I've done that. And it's humbling to realize that we are just part of a chain in God's kingdom. And so I say, when the clouds are full, we dump. We give because it is God's, the nature of God's people to give. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. You know how many times I've been with people and we're walking down the street and there's a beggar. I don't think we should give to him. He's probably just going to buy some booze. Most of the time, brethren, that's an excuse because I don't want to give. Now, he might go buy booze. He might. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been in enough ministries, I've been in enough missions to realize that it's not the minister or the giving or the whatever that's doing the job. Most of us come back from the mission field and we say, you know what that did? It was for my benefit. I am a better person for having been there. And what little bit of good we did, so what? We may have even been a hindrance, but it was good for me. Most of the time, the act of giving is not about eliminating a problem. It's about my heart. It's the same way with prayer. We can pray for people. What it's doing is changing our hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I noticed that's a point later on. I'm anxious to see what the speaker is going to say about that. My contention is the treasure comes first. You get somebody's treasure, I guarantee you'll get his heart. Because his heart will always follow the treasure. And that's what we do when we give. Our heart is there. Most of our missions have to admit that we don't really need your money. We need your hearts. If we wait for perfect conditions, probably will be delayed or not happen at all. We make excuses. We give by faith. We don't know what's happening. Many times, but we give by faith. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why this person showed up at the door wanting a generator. It may be just to teach our children how daddy's going to react to this situation. It may be so that we have a window into our own hearts to know how we're going to respond into this situation. We give by faith. We give consistently. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand. We give systematically. We give because we are givers. We give generously. And we practice it. We give, we perform the doing of it. I'm going to go to some practical points of giving as individuals. We're also going to look at some others, but first one there is hospitality. I didn't get married till I was a little bit older, and it wasn't because I couldn't find anybody that I couldn't stand. But, and I don't know that there were any particular traits that I was looking for, except for one thing. Hospitality was very important to me. And I traveled quite a bit, and I got into a lot of different communities and homes. And I don't know that I could have written this down at the time, but later on it became very important to me. Hospitality is who God's people are. We share, we give. And I wanted somebody to share that vision. And I got it. God granted me that. We came out of church one Sunday morning, and we'd had some visitors there. There's a family there with 8 children. And I met the person and invited them for lunch. And as we were leaving the church, I told my wife, I said, we got to get home. I said, I just invited 10 people for lunch. She said, well, I hope it's the same 10 I invited. We went home. We had a great time. Hospitality is something that we can give. The Shunammite woman, something we can share. I think we're losing some of that. And it's so much easier to go to a motel. It's more convenient and so on. But we were coming up here the other day, and we were planning to come up here, and my wife suggested that we'd go to Melvin Carnegie's, bless his heart. And I said, oh, I don't know. We probably could, whatever. We had a great time last evening. And this morning, the fellowship and the connections and sharing back and forth, we need that. Hospitality is a two-way street. And, oh, I'm shy and our house ain't what? Forget it. It's about being friends and God's people share. And it's one of the resources we have. Poor people. In fact, God said that we should look for people that can't reciprocate. You ever do that? It's more difficult today, but we like to have friends over and then we go to their house and back and forth. But hospitality is a big one. Food, time, funds, giving to the necessity of saints. Everyone has something to share, and we are big on that. Practical points of giving as a business. Hiring practices. I was blessed to be a part of a group that we practice this in our business. We have the ability and the opportunity to hire older people. And so the elderly in our congregation especially find a job there. And they can work as long as they want to work. As long as they're able and want to, we'll find a place for them. And that has been a real blessing for us. We love those people around. If they don't do anything but sit there and entertain the customers when they come in, there's a camaraderie there in the community that's been a tremendous blessing. And we found that to be a good thing. In the back, one of our back buildings, manufacturing, they're not so much involved with customers. There we hire ex-cons. And if you ever dealt with them, that's a ministry. And it can be tough. But we give these people a chance Some work out, some don't, some steal from you, some will, you know, there's a whole baggage of issues. But we found that to also be a good thing. And along with that comes a lot of other baggage. We have an autistic neighbor boy. I call him boy. I've been there for 10 years. He's probably pushing 30 now. Gave him an opportunity. I go home sometimes. I tell my wife, I don't know where I work. Sometimes it's a daycare, halfway house, counseling center, nursing home. I don't know. It can be stressful. But it is part of our, it's part of giving. It's part of life that it's an opportunity that I can share with other people. And together we actually try to make a living. Gifts in kind, surplus product or equipment. You know, not everything, the accountant doesn't like this, but not everything has to have a dollar value. Not everything has to have the peak amount of return on investment. Not everything has to have or be sold for the most I can get out of it. After all, isn't this God's work? Isn't my business God's business? What would He want? What would He do? I would have loved to have seen the books in that carpenter shop in Nazareth. I would have loved to see their balance sheet. I would have loved to see their P&L. I would like to see what the minutes are between in their discussion between Jesus and Joseph and some of the other brothers as they discussed how much to charge for that last chair we built. I would have loved to have seen what went through their mind when they dealt with customers or whatever they did there. Helping the next generation get started. There's a number of things we could say about things like that. And I don't want to say anything against what Richie said about being fair in our distribution among our children. But I had a grandfather. Very, very beautiful farm. He wanted to move it on to the next generation. Had 7 children. None of them wanted the farm. Either because they didn't live in the community anymore, or they had a farm of their own already, or they weren't interested in farming. But none of them wanted the farm. So he offered it to the grandchildren. And none of the grandchildren wanted it. So he said, okay, we're going to move this farm to a young man in our district. And it will not be sold for fair market value. Are you okay with that? And we were. Today that farm moved out of the family and gave a young couple a chance to farm. And we blessed him for it. But he taught us a valuable lesson that was better than any monetary value. Helping the next generation get started. Allowing employees to donate time. Sometimes we have a project. It could be a disaster project. And a brother comes and he says, hey, I'd like to go donate a week on rapid response or whatever. And could I take off? And helping rearrange schedules or whatever so he can do that. That's a way of giving. That's a way for us to help out. Sometimes we'll say, that's a good thing, but we'll cover half your wages. And maybe that'll help. We had a family that came to me one time. And he said I had actually loaned him money and had a mortgage on his place. He said, you know, my family and I, we'd like to go to serve at a mission. We'll be gone for a couple years. What do we do with this place? Shall we sell it? How do we handle this mortgage? Well, what happened was, as soon as it came out that these people may have want to go, a brother came to me and he said, look, he said, I want to take care of their payments while they're gone. Wow. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll throw the interest in. It's about helping each other. This family got to go. It was there was an opportune time for their family. They could do it. And as a church, we shared together. And as it turned out, there were several people involved. And they were able to go. Sponsoring special needs projects. Some of these things don't necessarily involve so much money as they involve capital of time and resources that you feel depleted. I'll tell you, some of the sticky situations that people get themselves into and I've gotten into, it takes a lot. We can also give funds, and we can do that. Practical points of giving as a church. Again, alms fund, work projects, allowing the brotherhood to suggest needs, votes, dispersing of funds. All of these can be used as a church. Giving Jesus way. There's just a variety of things that we can do. My father said when he was born, he didn't have anything. And he's looking forward to when he dies, he wants to get as close back to zero as he can get. Sometimes we have brethren that run out before they die. I've seen several cases of that. They planned well, but they didn't plan to live as long as they did. Didn't plan maybe for some of the expenses that they run into. And they run out. And that's a situation where families need to kick in. And sometimes they can't. And there's all kinds of brotherhood aid, and we'll hear more of that. Giving Jesus way. What I gave, I have. What I spent, I had. What I kept, I lost. Keep that in mind. Now, we have the ability today not to have anything left. And what is left, we can give that as well. There's resources back there that help you with your estate planning. Jesus said when he fed the 5,000, and those people could eat as many fish sandwiches as they wanted to, but when they finished up, he told the disciples, you gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And we have the ability today in our estate planning to gather up those fragments that there's nothing lost. Thank you.